the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. If you read the last 15 to 20 chapters of Genesis, it's a long story that includes a lot of, a lot of drama. It includes a lot of betrayal. I never watched soap operas, especially when I was a little kid. I wasn't allowed to watch soap operas, but sometimes I'd read about them in line at the checkout line, okay? So somebody betrayed somebody, and you know, you see the little pamphlets, and oh, I can't believe that happened this week. And if you read in the book of Genesis, it's a sordid tale. Even before Joseph is born, his parents and their family, you would say they had a little bit of dysfunction in their life, and Joseph was no exception to that. Most of us at least know Joseph and the coat of many colors. The Bible says that his dad loved him more because he was the son of his youth. And it says he made him a special coat, and he made him a coat of many colors. And I would always see the pictures or the flannel graph of Joseph and his colorful coat. But I was thinking about, and I read a little story about it this week, about how it wasn't just a coat of honor, a special gift, but it was also an outfit that you would wear when you weren't planning on doing any hard work. Okay, so you put on this coat, you put on this suit. People would just look at you and they'd say, well, let's not ask him to do anything. We don't want to mess up his coat. We don't want to mess up his suit. So it wasn't just that he was dad's favorite. It was that he was put in a place above them. Of course, if you've heard the story, you know that he had dreams, even as a young man, where God gave him a vision. But he shared those dreams with his brothers about how one day they would all bow down to him. And that didn't make the brothers any happier. Eventually, they couldn't stand to speak to him. They hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And you could probably justify at least a little bit of their feelings. Dad loves him more. Dad says he doesn't have to work as hard as we do. And now he's having these dreams where he's better than us and we're going to bow down to him. And if you know the story, they first say we're going to kill him, to put him in a pit. Then they sell him as a slave. He is taken and he goes into Potiphar's house, and God is with him the entire time, but Potiphar's wife lies about him, says, ask him to lie with her, and then she tells falsehoods about him, and he gets thrown in prison. And over again, even in prison, he is forgotten about, he is elevated and thrown and neglected, because God is able to use him to interpret dreams for Pharaoh's servants. But when he says, remember me when you get out of this place, they forget about him. And over again, he is lied about, he is betrayed, he is left for dead or sold as a slave. And he would be a life that you would look at when you get to the end of it, and he says, God meant it for good. And again, I was thinking about this. He had to believe that God meant it for good before he got to the end of his life, or he wouldn't have made the choices that he made throughout his life. And I was thinking about that kind of character that we all would want to have, and we have to decide now in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the betrayal, the soap opera, however you want to say it, in the midst of all the drama, we have to decide that God means it for good. We have to make that decision now. And the only way that Joseph made it through his life, trusting God, not being bitter or angry, and having God bless him and having God, by extension, bless the people around him in his life, he didn't just arrive at that thought once Dad died. It's at the end of the story, the brothers think that Joseph has just been kind to them because their father was still alive. And when their father dies, they thought, well, now the real Joseph's going to come out. Now he's going to say how he really feels. And the answer to that is the verses that we read. He said, I'm not God. Am I in God's place? I'm not God. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So the first little introductory point I want to make is Joseph had respect for the awesomeness and the authority of God. I'm going to read a couple of verses for you. Again, we're not going to tell the whole story tonight. Hopefully, if you get confused, you can go home and read the whole story again. But I'm going to just pick a few little things. When Joseph was in Potiphar's house, even in a foreign land, under a foreign authority, after being sold into slavery and betrayed by his family, when Potiphar's wife came to him, Joseph was entrusted in Potiphar's house with everything, and the Bible says that Potiphar didn't know what he had because he trusted Joseph that much. Joseph took care of all of it. And that Potiphar's wife said, lie with me, but he refused. This is in Genesis 39. I'm reading verse verse 8. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. But how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So even where he said, you know what, I am in charge of everything. Potiphar really doesn't even know what's going on. I'm handling everything. But he said, I still answer to God. Even though there might not be anybody else that could get me in trouble for what you're asking me to do, I still know that God is in control and that God sees all. God is the ultimate authority. And again, even in a foreign place where it might feel like he was neglected or left and treated unfairly, he said, even now I realize the blessings that God has put in my life, and I'm going to respect his authority in my life. And if you know the story, because he gave that answer, Potiphar's wife was, however you want to say it, she was insulted, I guess. She was insulted, so she lied to Potiphar, and it got him thrown in prison. So Joseph had respect for God's authority, even when someone else could say, well, God has left me in this condition. God must have brought me to this place, and God's going to allow me to make my own choices because of all the bad things that have happened to me. Even then he said, no, God's still in control, and I'm not going to sin against him. Look at the wisdom that he had throughout his life based on his knowledge of God's word. When the butler and the baker in prison came to Joseph and they had scary dreams, they needed them to be interpreted. When Joseph gave them the interpretation of their dreams, he said, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Again, a lesser man, a lesser person, would have taken the wisdom and knowledge they had been given by God and tried to take it as and use it and say, this is something I thought of. You know, a lesser person would say, I'm just going to listen to the interpretation and then I'll say, this is what I think. But he says, even in the foreign place, even before people that may not even believe in God, he still gives credit for that wisdom to where he received it from. Wisdom that comes from God, acknowledging God, even in the darkest prison. Grace. Joseph showed grace in the relationships that he had with other people. This is from Genesis 41, when he named his children. Their names had meaning. Genesis 41, verse 51. Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So he said, I still see God's grace even under the suffering, even under the temptation, even under the betrayal and the lies. I still see that God has led me. God used evil. God used people that meant evil, and he used it for good. And then one that I think all of us need. We all need this. But throughout his life, he saw a purpose and a destiny that God had given to him. This is from when, if you know the story, the brothers run out of food, and the dad says, there's corn in Egypt. They have food in Egypt, so you guys go and get some food. And they go back and forth a couple times, and Joseph hides himself from his brothers. He doesn't tell them, I'm your brother. And he messes with them a little bit. He puts their money back in their bags and sends them home, and then he chases after them and says, you guys are trying to steal from me. And he finally reveals himself to his brothers, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. And again, if you know the story, Pharaoh had dreams, and there were going to be 7 years of plenty. His dreams meant there'd be 7 good years where they could store the food and save it, and then there'd be 7 bad years where they wouldn't be able to grow crops and their animals would not be healthy. And Joseph, using the wisdom that God gave him, told Pharaoh that he needed to save what they had so they could survive. And Pharaoh said, I think you should be in charge of that. And so Joseph was put in charge of that. And when he finally revealed himself to his brothers, the way that he did it was he said, "We were all going to end up looking for food, and I had to get here first so there'd be something here when you came looking. I had to get here first so that there'd be a provision for our family so that we wouldn't all die." He said, that's just the way it worked out. I had to be here so that you could come and get the food and the survival that you needed. And he saw that came from God. Again, there's not a hint of bitterness or anger. Only the brothers put that on him. They think that he's going to react that way. But he says, God sent me. God sent me before you to preserve you. And all of us need to see that in our life. Even as we go through trials in our life where somebody might lie about us or say something, they might judge your motives. You know, they might say, well, they're doing good, but they're doing it for the wrong reason. Or they might look at you and even something as simple as the clothes that we wear or the favor that we might have with other people, and they'll say that they don't deserve that. But it's not the accusations or the lies that people tell about you. It's what you believe God has for you while you're going through the trial. And Joseph, again and again, said, God meant it for good. God prepared it. God sent me. I'm doing what God wants me to do. So I don't know the trials that we go through in life. I've talked to many of you throughout the week, and there's sometimes I tease about, not about the prayer request, but just that there's things going on in our lives. And I'll say it seems like there's a lot going on in your life. There's a lot of trials. There's a lot of suffering. And that responsibility that God gives us, he trusts us enough to go through a trial and represent him in the same way that Joseph went through his trial. And God must love us, and God must trust when he puts these weights and burdens and trials in our life. He must trust that we're going to react the right way. So it is a trial and a burden, but it's also an act of love. When God sent Joseph, the way that he looked at it was, there's a reason I'm here. It's not just to be lied about. It's not just to be betrayed. There's a greater purpose to the reason that I'm here. Sometimes we look at God as just somebody that we cry out to in a tough time, and not somebody that's designed our whole life. We look at God as just somebody, when we get in an emergency, then we'll call out to him instead of just saying, no, God has a plan for me every step of the way. All right, that was all introduction. Here we go. We'll get done. So what can we learn from his life? Again, read the story. Even read the parts that we don't talk about in Sunday school. They're interesting. They're scandalous, some of them. But God took all that dysfunction, God took all of that drama and said, I'm going to produce somebody that sees the will of God, sees God working, and sees that I'm in it for good, that God meant it for good. Joseph was more concerned with favor with God, and he knew it was more important than favor with man. We read those verses where Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, nobody knows we're here. Nobody knows what's going on other than me, but I can't sin before God. Our life lived for God, almost all of it, is how we live when no one else can see us, how we live in private. It's not the public things. I get teased sometimes. I went to the grocery store last night. My wife told me I needed to change my shirt and shave because I'll probably see about five or six people that I know. So she told me to change and clean up a little bit. But the life we live in private is the character that we display before God. What we live in front of other people is how we want them to think of us. But the life that we live is that character following after God. And that's what Joseph said. He said, you know, you can, to Potiphar's wife, he said, you can say whatever you want when we leave this place. But I still have to answer to God. I still have to answer to God, seeing what I've done. So he realized that favor with God was more important than favor with man. He was faithful. We read a couple of these verses. Potiphar trusted him so much that he just stopped keeping track of him. He said, everything in this house, you're in charge of it, except for the food I put in my mouth. Potiphar said, if it's my bread, I want to know what I'm eating, but everything else you're in charge of. He could be trusted when no one was watching, and he could be trusted to make the right choices. Talked to the kids in junior church this morning about when Jesus was with his disciples, and somebody teased me about it tonight. When Jesus was with his disciples, they could always say, I don't know, let's ask Jesus. Or I don't know, let's see what Jesus has to say about that. You know, when they tried to heal somebody and they couldn't, they took him to Jesus and said, why couldn't we heal him? And he said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And if there was ever an issue when they were serving with Jesus, they could go to him and he could correct it. The real test came when Jesus was no longer with them. He said, I'll leave you the Comforter. I'll leave you the Holy Spirit. But he had to ascend back into heaven. And then they were left to continue to preach his message. We talked about how when the disciples were called and they said, we don't want you to preach Jesus anymore. And they said, we can't but speak the things we've seen and heard. They said, we've experienced it, now we got to share it. And Joseph was the same way. He said, I'll be faithful. Whether I'm with the authority that I was born with, whether I'm with an authority that doesn't even believe in God, I'm still going to be faithful to what I know to be true and be faithful to the word of God. Joseph was forgiving. Again, when he revealed himself to his brothers, when he at the end of his life, when he said, God meant it for good. The only person, the only type of person that has that ability to say God meant all of this negative stuff for good is somebody that has shown forgiveness. I think he had to forgive Potiphar's wife that she had lied about him. I think he had to forgive that servant of Pharaoh that forgot about him when he was trapped in prison. I think he had to get rid of that bitterness, because when he was finally called out, when he was finally brought up and raised up and put as an authority, he had to be able to make decisions to help other people, even those that had betrayed him. So he had to be one that was a forgiver. And then the last one, Joseph realized that God's spirit worked through him. Again, he humanly came up with the plan. We got to save food. We got to store it. We got to get it ready to pass it out when the bad years come. But that knowledge came from God. That wisdom, that creativity came from God. It came from God's spirit. We all have to look at our life and realize that there's more working on us than just flesh and bone. There's more to this life than just what we can see and touch and hear. There is a spirit that works within us. God's spirit works within us. We serve a God who interferes and controls and has sovereign authority in our life. In other words, God was working through Joseph. And that's why he turned from sin. That's why he kept far from bitterness. That's why he showed forgiveness. Because he said, if I want God to work through me, if I want to be able to get through the end of this whole mess and say God meant it for good, I'm going to have to realize that God's spirit is working through me. The people that we call heroes in our life, people that we look up to, they're the ones that realize there is a higher calling that they serve. You know, somebody that defends their country, somebody that, you know, saves people out of burning buildings. They are looking at the situation and they say there's a greater good that needs to be accomplished. It's not just about me. And Joseph in his life, he could have lived a selfish life. He could have lived a sinful life, and not many people would have known about it. But he chose to honor God in private and in public. So I just want you to think about tonight. We'll be done. What is in your way? We could look at Joseph's life, every step of it, and say, getting thrown in the pit and left for dead, that would be enough to stop me from thinking that God was looking out for me, that God cared about me, and that God had a plan for my life. That would be enough, just getting thrown in the pit. Being sold as a slave by my flesh and blood brothers, who I'd known since I was born, and they decided they hated me that much just because Dad loved me too much, being sold as a slave, that would be enough to make me stop trusting in God. Being in a foreign land and doing my best to do right and then have somebody ask me to sin and then lie about me and throw me in prison, that would be enough. That would be in the way enough for me to not trust that God meant it for good. But so I ask you tonight, I don't know what's in your way right now that keeps you from saying God means it for good. But I just tell you tonight, you need to move it out of the way. Joseph desired God's favor, not man's. So there was nothing in his life that was more important than God's favor. He was faithful even when there was no one watching. He was forgiving, trusting that God had the control and God had the right timing. Again, it might have been the months and years that he was in prison. It might have been difficult to believe that every minute of the day. But he was forgiving and he was faithful. And he desired to show the Spirit of God. When those men came to him and said, hey, we had these dreams. We don't know what they mean. He could have said, well, I know what they mean because I'm special. I'm smart. He said, no, I'll tell you what they mean because wisdom comes from God. I'll give that wisdom to you that only comes from God's Spirit. And so our prayer tonight, my prayer for each of us, as we go out in public and as we stay home in private, as we live our lives, that we'd ask for God's Spirit to fall on us, that we'd ask for God's Spirit to make us usable, that we'd move these things out of the way. The things that we could easily say would stop us, we'd say, no, God means that for good. God uses evil intentions. God means it for good. He can use sinners to accomplish his will. He certainly did that in the life of Joseph. So I don't know what's in your way tonight, what keeps you from trusting, but I want you to be able to say now and at the end of your life, God meant it for good. We're going to have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the example of so many in the Bible that they could have stopped in the middle of their story and said, it's obvious that I'm here by myself, that I'm outside of what God wants, and I'm going to quit now. But instead they said, no, I'm going to trust God. Maybe my timing is different than God's timing. Maybe what I think should happen is different than what God knows is best for me. Maybe there's somebody else in the story that needs a blessing, and they're here to be blessed because I'm going to obey and be the right example and follow you. So I pray, Lord, that you bless our invitation tonight. Thank you for each one that gave a testimony. Thank you for the songs that we've sung. I pray, Lord, that you bless this time of invitation, that we would move these things out of our lives, the bitterness, unforgiveness, whatever it may be that prohibits us from saying, God means it for good. God means it for good. I pray you bless the time tonight. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.